You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Thursday, 26 November. I am Simon Brown, and I'm coming to you live and loud from the MoneyWeb global headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, we'll be chatting Alex Dace. That Lewis dividend, I mean, it almost is a yield of almost 12%, a forward yield. We'll delve into that and some food CPI creeping in. Revigo Fund Managers, a renewable energy fund that's going to be coming to market in early 2021. And then Worksman's Dr. Eric Levenstein, Business Rescue in 2020. We've actually seen a number of companies successfully exit the other side. I want to dig into that a little bit more. Wednesday's question, we asked you if you were buying banks and which were your preferred. A bunch of you were buying banks. Most of you agreed with Gary, Standard and First Rand, some Investec, but truthfully, buying across the board. Absa, Nedbank, all the banks are getting some love from you guys yesterday. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, Woolies shareholders clamor against Moya's exit package. So ex-CEO Ian Moya getting about $77 million to leave. 82.24% of investors have voted no. That includes me. I'm a shareholder. I don't think you pay exiting CEOs $77 million, especially after that David Jones debacle. Of course, this is, once again, a non-binding vote. All that Woolies now needs to do is engage with unhappy shareholders. Business Day, President Ramaphosa's ally, Zizi Kodwa, linked to EOH payouts. This has been a fascinating listen at the testimony at the Zondo Commission from the insiders as EOH CEO. And of course, he wasn't CEO when this was happening. Stephen Francolia, he has come in after the fact to fix it up, but how it was happened, how it played out, and frankly, how blatant it was. Morning markets, US mixed, S&P down 0.2, Nasdaq up 0.5%. Remember, US closed today for Thanksgiving, and tomorrow, Friday, a half day for them. Asia mixed, Sydney up, down 0.5% rather, Turkey up 0.6. Commodities green, gold 18.01, Rand 15.11 against the US dollar, and top 40, opening call looking green, up 0.2%.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Alex Dace. He's a portfolio manager at Mthombo Wealth. Alex, morning. Appreciate your time this morning. Lewis results yesterday. Great results. What jumped out at me was a R1.33 dividend for a 6-month period, which up to September included all that hard lockdown, included them being unable to do trade during sort of what April, May, and yet a R1.33 dividend. My brain says I double that because they can surely do that again in the next 6 months. That brings me to a dividend yield of almost 12%. In a world of low yield, I mean, that must be surely attractive.
Morning, Simon. Yes, regarding Lewis, we certainly thought results were very good yesterday. And I think Ether Inc. has proved over the last few months set of results that companies have been a lot more resilient than initially feared. And if you look at the Lewis, I mean, the revenue was very, very strong considering they were locked down, as you mentioned. So I think, and that really caused them to be able to produce the results that allowed them to pay a dividend. And of course, and also the very strong cash collection, which I thought was excellent. I mean, they were able to de-gear completely the balance sheet, pay out the dividend, and as a result, they're very, very comfortably positioned to really grow from this base going forward. I would imagine a lot of their competition is not as strong as they are at this particular stage. So Lewis, I think if you take a 3 to 5 year view, normalizing so forth, it looked quite attractive. They do highlight the results that things will be a bit tough, beginning of next year as well for them. You know, you should see bad dips continue to spike up and the likes, but I think Lewis, decentralized business model, gives them a bit of advantage where it allows them, they know their customers well, and mm-hmm. I think collections will eventually recover. So certainly, yes, the dividend looks good. But also, if you look at the free cash yield, it's actually substantially higher than the current dividend yield or implied dividend yield. So theoretically, they can pay even more dividends if they want to, instead of doing the share buybacks, which they are considering as well.
And you made a point there around SA Inc. I mean, some of SA Inc. not doing great, particularly industrial and the like, but there are large swathes of SA Inc. who are doing well, who are really good management and have proved this by delivering, in cases, really good results during what has undoubtedly been the hardest 6 months of their history.
Certainly. I think what has helped is that the economy, of course, has been under pressure over the last decade. So companies have already managed their cost bases relatively well. They're used to a low growth revenue environment. So really hats off to them. I mean, there's quite a few examples of companies where market tendency before they could go out of business, and they've actually came out to produce excellent results considering cash flows. And to see the share price basically doubling from or tripling from recent lows. So, I think the worst case scenario we all feared in March, April hasn't come onto the fore from that perspective, though the damage to the economy still remains severe.
A quick last point. We saw CPI come out yesterday, 3.3%, up from 3%. Of course, the target is 3-6, so still well within the target. What noted me was food inflation starting to come through. That traditionally good for food retailers, and should help them over the next couple of months and perhaps into next year. Is that a fair comment?
Yes, I think it's not necessarily going to be good for the food producers. I think they're going to struggle to push through cost prices to the retailers and so forth. But the retailers, certainly, that will be a benefit to them. If you look at across the board, results have been quite resilient there on the food retailers, and not only in the listed space, but also unlisted space. So I certainly think they should be able to benefit. Though on the lower end, some of the social grant packages is going to come to an end, so that's going to have a bit of an impact. So we need to be cognizant of that. So certain items perhaps might not have the same pricing powers we saw over the last few months. But in general, food inflation should be good, and I think volumes will remain reasonable. But I think people's spending patterns might also start changing again, considering that we are now on stage one and so forth. People are going back to the restaurants. They are going up for perhaps different types of expenditure compared to the last few months. So be cognizant of that. So perhaps the strength will not be as good as we think, but I still think it will be relatively resilient.
And that's a great point. Social grants is obviously a big point. And as you say, we were eating at home for months and months and months. That's no longer the case. Alex Dace, Portfolio Manager at Thornburg Wealth, appreciate the time. Our question for you today, would you be buying Lewis for that chunky dividend yield, almost 12%, which perhaps they could even increase over time? Yes, you would. Nope, worried about capital loss, or nope, I want price gains, not income.
The Financial Sector Conduct Authority proposes regulating crypto intermediaries as financial advisors. What does this mean for the crypto market? Join MoneyWeb's Kieran Ryan with FSCA's Brandon Topham, Valor founder Fazar Masani, and Revix founder Sean Sanders on Thursday, 26 November at 11 for a live webinar. The webinar will look at the implications of these proposed regulations and how it will affect trading. Register on www.moneyweb.co.za.
Business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb Now
with Simon Brown
on the Money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Michael Mise. He's Chief Investment Officer of Revigo Fund Managers. Michael, morning. Appreciate your time. You've got a fund which you're going to be bringing to market. We'll touch on the coming to market bit in a moment. In essence, it's investing into renewable assets, focusing sub-Saharan Africa, really taking two angles from it. One is obviously the renewable. That's an exciting space. But bringing a proper utility-style investment to market.
Yeah, morning, Simon. That's correct. So Revigo is a new entity and a new fund manager, majority black-owned. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to acquire equity in operating renewable energy projects across sub-Saharan Africa. And obviously at the moment, South Africa is way ahead with respect to the number of opportunities compared to the rest of sub-Saharan Africa. But they will catch up as the cost of renewable energy generation and capital costs come down over time.
Yeah, and the demand is undoubtedly there. And importantly, you mentioned there that operating assets. In other words, you're not going to be going in and building and the like. This is going to focus on assets that are sort of up, happening and delivering.
Yeah, so the idea, Simon, is that Revigo is a let's call it a yield co. So we're not looking to take the construction risk or the development risk. So once the underlying projects have actually hit commercial operation, a lot of the initial investors are potentially on natural long-term holders. Mm-hmm. And particularly in the South African environment, you've got a long-term power purchase agreement. So you have some certainty around future income. Obviously got operational risk, so there's some variability there. But you have certainty around price. And again, a lot of the contracts are 100% indexed with inflation. So you've got a full cost revenue stream and a profitability that kicks off dividends over a 20-year period. So you can have this predictability of cash flow, which gives you this yield, which we're aiming to provide investors.
Yeah, you're targeting a 10% yield, which is very nice and chunky, and you're able to do that, as you say. You know, oftentimes indexed to inflation, oftentimes offtake agreements, and you know, measured in decades, not just in years, and that does give you sort of serious predictability and therefore attractiveness for investors who want that stability and that yield from their investment.
Yeah, correct. Simon, I think the other side of the coin here is also that if you understand this is it's renewables.
Yes.
A lot of investors are looking for a way into the sector. Again, these are all private companies, so again, how do you get access to this without being directly in those companies? It's quite difficult. So this gives investors a access to a portfolio of underlying assets rather than a single asset. And it's, again, ticks the box around the ESG, which is a sort of the, let's call it a green angle that a lot of investors are looking for.
Yeah.
Gives you this.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Because at this point, you know, for the average private investor, it's truthfully practically impossible to do this. And it'll be de-risked. You'll have a number of assets. You say, initial portfolio will be six assets. So de-risked in that sense. And you are bringing it to market. Target, if I understand, is sort of early next year.
Yeah. So we're looking first quarter of next year. So just be... sort of around for February, March, I think that's where we're looking to target. We've got some investors already lined up, got the assets lined up, and it's just a process in terms of go through the JSE listing requirements, issuing documents. So people should look out, start looking out in February for this.
We'll chat again then. I think there's going to be a great listing when we've got those IPO docs, which will give us a lot more information in terms of details, etc. We'll get you back on the line. Michael Misa, he's Chief Investment Officer of Revigo Fund Managers on their renewable assets that they're going to be bringing to market. You heard the gentleman there, February, March of next year. Michael, appreciate the time.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place? Offshore. While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP. Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting with Dr. Eric Lievenstein. He's head business rescuer at Worksman's Attorneys. Eric, morning. Appreciate your early morning time. 2020, has it been a record year for business rescue practitioners? And has the industry been able to manage and work with sufficient capacity?
Morning, Simon. Yes, I think we've had a really busy year. There's no question that business rescue filings have been up. In fact, SIPSI recently reported that there were about 233 filings for business rescue this year, which is up on last year. I think what we have seen this year, Simon, is the more activity, let's say, in business rescue in the listed space and also in the private space as well, where companies had to go through a reset, obviously caused by the pandemic, a lack of revenue generation, companies really struggling to, you know, stay stay afloat. And we saw that specifically in companies like South African Airways, SA Express, more recently in Comair, Edcon, in the horse racing industry in Pumalela. And I don't think at the end of the day that business rescue is something that is industry agnostic. It really does affect all sectors across the country. So I don't see the trend dropping off, I must tell you, into 2021. I think we might have a busy Christmas period. So retail might pick up, maybe hotel and tourism. But then I think we're going to see a bit of a dip in January and going into next year.
And you mentioned a bunch there which have been to varying degrees successes, certainly Edcon, Pumela, Comair, SAA. SAA has frankly been a bit of a weird one, SAA Express. I remember a few years ago, and truthfully, it's probably people speaking from ignorance saying, the business rescue process doesn't work. Companies go into it and they don't come out the other side. But certainly this year we have seen them. That list that you mentioned, these are the process working. I like the phrase you used. It's a reset, and that is what it's designed for. And sure, the shareholders, you know, that they're always last in line, and that's the risk of being an equity shareholder. But my sense is the process has been working.
You know, Simon, you make a very good point. Prior to 2011 in South Africa, all we could do with companies that were in trouble was put them into liquidation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everyone knows liquidation is the end game. Jobs come to an end and the business basically dies. But with business rescue, like we see internationally, it gives a company the opportunity for a fresh start. And you're right, we have seen some major, I think, successes this year.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, we've seen M&A opportunities increase. I mean, the level of transactional work that's gone on in business rescue, take Pumalela, for example, even SA Express and SA Airways might end up, we don't know yet, where transactions might happen. So, I mean, Comair is another example. We've seen a major transaction going on there. So what it does do, it creates merger and acquisition opportunities in distressed assets. So, you know, we'll see what happens next year. But I don't believe these opportunities are going to go away soon for companies that have cash. Obviously, if you've got cash on your balance sheet, acquisition hungry, you should be looking in the distressed space.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. That's actually a really good place. And we think of Jet, which was an absolute steal, I suspect. And shareholders at times, I know, perhaps from a less nuanced perspective, they're often aggrieved and they're like, oh, we lost out. But truthfully, as you mentioned, prior to 2011, it was straight into liquidation. I mean, shareholders are the ones who carry all the reward and carry the most amount of risk. This is how the process is set up. And, you know, the bondholders a little less risk and, of course, less reward in the process. This is the system working as intended.
Absolutely, Simon. You know, if you look at international models of rescue, generally speaking, shareholders don't really have a seat at the table in a company that goes through a restructuring. At the end of the day, they do take the risk. It's all about, returns to creditors, allowing the company to basically a compromise historical debt.
Mm-hmm.
And the shareholders, even in South Africa, in a business rescue, very much play a back seat. And I think what we've seen is a lot of shareholders not understanding the system and how it works. Unfortunately, they really will only get a vote in a business rescue, for example, if they've been diluted in a transaction. Other than that, shareholders play a very minimal role in a business rescue process.
Yeah, and that's exactly, you know, we take all the upside potential. I always say to folks, you know, if something goes wrong in a company, your risk is 100%. But if it goes well, your upside is multiples of that. It's an asymmetrical risk-reward process. And sometimes you do end up holding a Comair or a Pumalela Gaming, and that does hurt. I appreciate it. Dr. Eric Liebenstein, Head Business Rescue, Workman's Attorney, appreciate the time. This show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 29. It's a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial services provider, license number 50483. Repeat of our question poll we're asking you today, would you be buying Lewis shares for that chunky dividend? Yes, you love it. Nope, you're worried about capital loss, or perhaps nope, you want price gains, not income necessarily. That's it for today. You'll find us live every weekday morning, 6:30 a.m. on the MoneyWeb website or the app. podcast available, again on the website, the app, and of course wherever good podcasts are aggregated. A massive thanks to my team, Eddie and Kodora, the social media team, for keeping us on the Twitters, and to you for listening, my guests, for their early morning time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.